Hi.
Hi.
I'm Bob.
Yeah.
I'm from Pasadena in Berrien. You guys know where Berrien is? It's in South. It's in. We like to call it West Seattle. It sounds nice. It's We have 4 meetings a day, 7 days a week at Pasadena. It's a First Step Hall. It's a closed meeting, and it's the best meeting in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned. It's my home group, and if you get a chance to get out that way, come and see us. So, I guess here we are. So, I'll get this out of the way right now. I'm not a public speaker. I'm terrified. If I have to get up in front of people and talk, I hate it. And then Scott told me on the way over here that you guys tape record the meeting, so that just made it worse for me. And here's what's really funny. I own a recording studio, so. Anyways, so I guess, you know, I'll start off by saying I'm 46 years old, and I have 12 years of sobriety. And but I was in treatment when I was 17 years old, so there's a long period of time there that I wasn't sober. And you know, I don't, you know, my childhood's, there's nothing really special about it. I mean, you know, my parents loved me; they did the best they could with me. You know, I was kind of a selfish, self-centered person when I was younger, and I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol when I was a teenager. And, you know, a big part of my story, and I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm true to Alcoholics Anonymous, is a big part of my story is drugs, you know, and cocaine in you know, particular is my thing, or was. And, you know, when I was 17 years old, I got introduced to that stuff, and I went right off the deep end right away with it. And I wound up in inpatient treatment at 17 years old. And I stayed sober for about 6 months, and I went to EDI in Berrien. I don't know if any, you know, if anybody knows where that is. That was the only meeting in town at the time. And I didn't fit in. I didn't get, you know, I didn't understand it. Everybody there was old. They smoked. I smoked, but they smoked more than I did. And they were really old. They were really old and crusty. And I wasn't an alcoholic. I mean, I liked to drink. You know, I just figured I liked to drink, so I'm not an alcoholic. You know, and I could not relate to the stories that they were talking about. I mean, I didn't have a driver's license. I didn't have a house. You know, I didn't lose kids. I didn't have a, you know, I guess I didn't care, but. So what happened was I just did the maintenance drinking thing through my 20s, and but what was really weird, I still wound up going to treatment a couple times when I was doing maintenance drinking. And but the drugs were always there during this whole time. What happens to me is I destroy my life. I come to AA or go to treatment, straighten my life out, and then I get well, and then I go back out again. I mean, you know. And a lot of what my excuse is when I've relapsed is just, it's not the drinking and drugging, it's the situation, or it's the, you know, the reason those things happen is because I didn't have enough money, didn't have the right girlfriend, didn't have the right house, didn't have this, didn't have that, and I'd go back out and use. And, you know, just to make a long story short, what happened to me when I was about 27 years old, it got pretty bad with the drugs. And I went to treatment, inpatient treatment. Scott came and talked, him and he was married at the time, him and his wife came and talked to me, and he was about my same age, and he was a musician, and I could relate to him, you know, and he had something I wanted. He was, you know, his wife was cute, and he had a house, and he had something going on, you know, and anyways, so I asked him to be my sponsor at the time, and at the time, my girlfriend relapsed, and he was nice enough to let me move in there. And probably that was the thing that got me sober, was I saw somebody that was had something I wanted that was sober. And he was really active in AA at the time, and he got me going to, you know, we were going down to the psych ward and going to detox and doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, like every other time, you know, I got a girlfriend that was sober. You know, I went back to school. I had a great job. I had a lot of money. Everything was going really well. You know, and I just got tired of going to AA. I got tired of listening to the stories. I just got tired of it, you know. And I didn't go to a meeting for a couple of years. My girlfriend at the time was going to lots of meetings, and all my friends were going to meetings. But I just figured, I'm not ever going to drink. How am I ever going to drink? I don't even know anybody that drinks anymore, you know. And they were going to enough meetings for me, you know. And what happened was my dad became really ill. He suddenly became ill and had cancer, and I wound up helping take care of him. And he died. And I was sober through all that. And I thought, I'm never going to drink again. I'm cured, you know. I mean, that didn't, you know, if I didn't drink over that shit, what am I going to drink over, you know? And within about a year, I had about 5 or 6 years of sobriety at the time. I decided I was getting really depressed. And I went, and I had told my girlfriend I was going to kill myself. And the next thing I know, I'm getting locked up at Overlake Hospital, sober, you know. And I'm like, and people were from Paso Homer coming and seeing me at the psych ward. And they're going, hey, man, you need to go to some meetings. I'm like, you don't understand. It's not meetings. I'm depressed, you know. I got some problems here, you know. And I met some cool people in the psych ward. They were interesting. And I actually thought one of them was pretty cool, this girl. I thought she was all right, you know. And you see where I'm going with all this. So, and she told me she knew where she could get some drugs. And when my dad died, I got a huge inheritance. I had almost $1 million in inheritance money. You can see where I'm going with the story real quick, right? So I'm like, well, I got plenty of money, you know. Maybe I'll just go out a couple times, have some fun, you know. Have that big party that I never got to have because now I got lots of money. And immediately I was like, I went and drank at Aztec Margarita on the Rocks. I never drank tequila because that shit makes me mean. But I ordered that night, and I was right back. I mean, I drove home, and I thought there was something weird when I drank because suddenly I felt okay, and I thought, man, why was I torturing myself for that time being sober? I mean, I feel really good. This is great. You know? No DWI. I didn't actually go home for about 3 or 4 days, but, you know. So what happened to me was I went out on this run for a couple weeks, and I came home in the middle of the night. My roommate at the time was sober and going to meetings. And I came to with my parents standing, or my mom and my sister and my family standing in my bedroom, you know. And it was a little embarrassing. So anyways, they were trying to help me, you know. And what happened was they came and they called the police, you know, because I started threatening them. That's what I do. And I assaulted my sister, you know. And you know, the cops didn't think that shit was very funny. And that was it for me. Pretty much my family was done with me at that point. I tried to come back. I tried to get sober, man. It just wasn't. I wasn't having it. It's like the story in the book where the guy had all the resources and he just couldn't do it. And my heart wasn't really in it. You know, I just, whatever my deal was, I was just out on the run. I guess I was in the throes of the disease. And what happened was I went out for a year and a half. The money was gone. I lost my house. I lost my job. I lost my car. You know, I lost everything. And I gave it away, you know, basically. And what happened was, towards the end of it, I knew that either I was going to rob a bank, kill somebody, or I was going to have to get sober. That's where I was at with it. And I don't like jail. I've been to jail before. That just wasn't doing it for me. And I don't like pain, so the death stuff wasn't working for me, you know. And the getting sober deal, I knew what that was going to be about. So I was actually weighing all three of those, you know, a little bit. And what was really weird this last time, though, there was something weird happening to me. I asked my mom to talk to a minister because for some weird reason I was going, man, what is it with people that are into church and into church and doing stuff? You know, what are they, you know, why are they all happy, you know? So I went and talked to a minister, and he told me some stuff that changed my life. And I came back and I went to pass it on, you know, like with a vengeance. And I was able to get sober, you know, and what I could tell you about it is, this last time, what's different about it is I have a relationship with a higher power. I go to AA like my life depends on it, you know. And it's like, I love AA. I mean, it saved my life. And it's like, if you're new and you're struggling with drugs and alcohol, you know, what's suggested to me was stop drinking and stop drugging, get a sponsor, go to meetings and work the steps. You know, and this last time I'm getting sober, I didn't go work the steps right away. I mean, it was about a year before I worked the steps. But when I did work them, I went back and paid all that money. I had 50 grand in debt this last time, and I was making $10 an hour. It took me years to pay that money off. 5 years before my family would let me come over and see them for Christmas. You know, I mean, that's the kind of devastation I did this last time out, man. And it's just, I'm not interested in going through that shit again, you know. But it's like, if I can get sober, I mean, there's people in this room right now that saw me come back, and they didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to make it. But if I can get sober, anybody can get sober, you know? And it's like, I have an awesome life. I got a awesome girlfriend. She's awesome. Scoring points here, but it's all right, baby. But I have a really good life, you know, and I'm active. And if you guys are out our way, I mean, I would like you to come to Pasadena and come and see us out there. So thanks.